This is the Talk Theater in Chicago interview podcast. I'm your host this week, Anne Nicholson Weber, and my guests are Melanie Keller and Erin Neal, two of the succession of Chicago actors who have been part of the Chicago Fellows Program, which is sponsored by the Chicago Association of the Stratford Festival, under whose aegis an actor is sent to the Stratford Festival in Stratford, Ontario every year. And spends over a year, actually, both studying in the Birmingham Conservatory, which is a training program for actors, and also acting as part of Stratford Festival. So it's a pretty fantastic opportunity for an actor. So I thought it would be fun to talk to Melanie and Erin about their experiences, how the program is structured, and what's the point of it. So let's just start with Erin, who was the fellow from the season 2006-2007. Can you just first introduce yourself a little bit, talk about some of the companies you work with in Chicago and who you are as a Chicago actor?
Sure. I have been in Chicago since 2002. I've worked with Remy Bumpo Theater, sort of been a home for me, and the House Theater has been another bit of a home because I went to school with some of those people. I've worked with the Griffin Theater, Chicago Dramatists, Victory Gardens. I've been very happy to just call Chicago my home, even though I'm a Texan by nature. I've adopted the Midwest.
Texan by birth, but maybe not by nature. So, and then Melanie, same question to you.
I actually grew up here in Chicago. I have been here since I was about two or three, and actually went to the Stratford Festival for the first time when I was nine, I think, maybe 10. I'm a member of Signal Ensemble, and I'm also a member of First Folio Theater, and I worked with Northlight a couple of times, and I can't even remember.
Around town.
I just feel like I've been in Chicago for a long time.
So I think what I'm most interested in hearing about, well, let's do the housekeeping first of all. So maybe Erin, you could talk a little bit just about how the program is structured, how people are chosen for it, what happens when you get there. Just give us a thumbnail of
sure.
What the program is.
And my experience will be slightly different from Melanie's because there was David Latham was running the conservatory when I was there. And then the next year when Melanie was there, Martha Henry was. So there were some changes to the program. And it used to be this very mysterious audition process. That is not the case anymore, but to be quite honest, I didn't really even understand it. You had to be referred by someone in Chicago, by a casting director, a director, a company, and nobody really knew who that was and who was doing the referring for a while. And then so for me, Linda Gillum, the amazing Linda Gillum,
at Remy Bumpo as well.
At Remy Bumpo, who's the casting director there and a company member there, referred me. Someone from the festival called me and said, would you like to audition for this program? I was aware of the Stratford Festival, but I was not aware of the Birmingham Conservatory. I was a little bit, when I got the phone call, I kept remembering saying, is this a graduate? I don't have money for a graduate program right now.
Right. And that, just to be clear, is one of the very cool things about it, because the Chicago Associates Fund, it's essentially a free ride, is that right?
It's actually, you're paid by the Stratford Festival.
So it's better than a free ride.
Yes. It's much better. It's essentially someone paying you to go get amazing classical theater training.
Yeah.
I am unaware of something that exists like that in the United States.
So it's the one exception to the rule that if it's too good to be true, it's not true.
Right. I would agree with that. Yeah.
So Melanie, can you things have changed, or at least had changed, between David and Martha Henry's?
Well, my audition experience was very similar to Erin's in that I had the mysterious referral. I didn't know. I got a phone call, and it really was sort of shrouded in mystery.
Yeah.
Nowadays, Martha Henry will have auditions. She will hold auditions. I think there may still be a referral process, mm-hmm. but she holds auditions through Actors Equity or at the space. So I think that the process of how you get an audition seems a little more open and transparent now.
Mm-hmm. Does either of you know exactly what the stated mission of this, the Chicago Associates program, the Chicago Fellows undertaking is?
So Hope Abelson, who is, of course, an amazing philanthropist and supporter of the arts here in Chicago, now more than 30 years ago, there was a group of art supporters and Stratford fans from the Chicago area who were going to Stratford quite a lot and making contributions to the festival. And they had what at the time, I mean, it's gone through several iterations, but they had a young company. The Birmingham Conservatory is relatively new in the history of the Stratford Festival, but they've always had a program to train young people.
Yeah.
And I think my understanding is that Hope said, well, if we're, you know, helping out and supporting the festival so much, we should get, let's get one of our Chicago actors up there. And so she spearheaded creating the Chicago Fellow program.
Yeah.
And so now that program has continued for over 30 years now, there's always been an actor who is not necessarily a native of Chicago, but auditions out of Chicago mm-hmm. and is sent to the festival.
Yeah. So the population of Chicago actors is kind of larded with these fellows now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really where my focus of interest is. What does an actor bring back from spending a year at the Stratford Festival in the Birmingham Conservatory, or whatever version of the training program you participated in? So, Erin, you're smiling like you have something to say.
Well, it is a gift to be able to, anybody who has worked professionally as an actor, and Chicago is such a beautiful, wonderful home and accepting of artists. But I would say the majority of artists I know here in the city have other ways to make money besides mm-hmm. working as an artist. And that's okay. That's great. But your time in Stratford gives you this concentrated time where you are being very generously compensated for your time as an artist. So you don't have to focus on 7 other jobs,
right.
Which is such a gift because it gives you time and space to really explore the classical texts. The training is impeccable. I couldn't say enough about the kind of teachers and artists and directors I worked with there. And then you get the opportunity to put that into practice working in rep, which is so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But to get back to your question of what's important and what do you bring back to Chicago, what I speak about is really important to me. I do a lot of work as a teaching artist. And I work in the Chicago Public Schools. And while I was at Stratford, they have this amazing educational outreach program where they really believe in helping to train artists to work with classroom teachers. And members of the company have the opportunity, which Melanie and I took advantage of getting this artist teaching certificate through York University in Toronto. And then once things slow down at the company and all of your shows are up in rep and you're not in classes, and then you have the opportunity to work with other artists to go into school settings and bring Shakespeare into schools.
Mm.
And the teaching artist experience really, really changed my life. And now I am, I'm working in the school system in Chicago, trying sometimes not successfully, to bring that knowledge to the kids of Chicago.
There's a lot I want to follow up on with that, but let me first ask Melanie to answer the same question.
One thing was just sort of the respect for the profession of being an actor. Because what Erin says is so true, that here in this city, that there's something really awesome about the Chicago aesthetic, which I feel very much like we get things done. We sort of show up at the theater, you put on your costume, you go out there and you just do it. And you don't sort of swan around thinking about all your emotions and stuff like that. And there's a sense of, I don't have time to be, indulgent is not quite the right word, but we don't have the luxury of time in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Partly because we're coming from our first job, we're doing a show, and then maybe we're going to our second job. You know, right.
And you two are both equity actors.
And so, we are. Yeah. And even then we've got to work multiple jobs. And, yeah. And so Chicago, there's a very kind of a pragmatic, to me, there was and still is a very sort of pragmatic sensibility. Mm-hmm. And we love what we do, but we don't get real sort of,
introspective, navel gazing,
process. That's exactly the term. So that when I had the opportunity to go to the Birmingham Conservatory, and the first thing we would do in the room in the morning was sit around and talk about our feelings. And I mean, I say this sort of pejoratively, and I kind of make fun, and it's not really fair, but one of my fellow students would say something like, you know, I've got a lot of emotional tension in my left elbow. And I'd roll my eyes and be like, oh my God, just get over it. Right. And the next day I would show up and they would say, well, how do you feel? And I'd be like, I have a lot of emotional tension in my left elbow. And it sort of gave me permission to tap in, to understand how important it is to take, my job. See, it's my job to be introspective. It's my job to learn how to breathe, to roll around on the ground and find my core. Mm-hmm. It's my job to create pictures in my head. I mean, all of the stuff that felt a little sort of silly and precious, mm-hmm. but I had never had the time or the safe space to do that.
Yeah.
Somehow not even quite in theater school. And I don't think that, it was just a really new experience for me. And I think what it taught me is that it is hard work to be an actor. And I saw actors there who would, you know, go to every warm up because it's your job to keep your voice in shape and to keep your it's about your mental state too. You go to the gym, you work out because this is the body, this is your tool, this is what you have, right. You take care of yourself. It is your job and it is a hard job. I have never been so exhausted.
Well, it's fascinating what you just said, Melanie, because I think I can really see, I'm a huge fan of the Stratford Festival. I've been going since I was probably 9 also. And I can see how that, that protective world that you're in this sort of little random Ontario farm town, essentially, where this world-class theater festival has grown up, where there's really not anything else. There isn't competition in terms of the culture of the place. The theater festival is it. So I can see how that creates a culture where people have a permission to take themselves seriously as theater artists. Whereas I think there is a culture here, at least as you're articulating it, of we can't let it be too difficult because our lives are already so damn difficult that it just has to, you know, you can't agonize so much. You just got to save something to survive as well. That's very interesting. Well, the other thing we haven't gotten to is the emphasis on classical theater, and Chicago obviously has plenty of classical theater going on, but if I had to just in a second, you know, draw a sketch of what is a typical Chicago play, it wouldn't be Shakespeare. It wouldn't be kind of the classical canon. So how does it affect you as an artist, as an actor, to immerse yourself in the classical repertoire? What changed about you is in the way you approach acting now in what is probably more often more contemporary or, you know, different kinds of plays? Do you have an answer for that, Erin?
In Chicago, there's so many great new plays. I mean, in the end, we're telling a story about people's lives using some kind of written text. And there are so many things that are similar about...
Right. A play is a play. Acting
yes,
is acting.
Yes. Yeah. However, classical characters are really, really rich characters. Mm-hmm. And you have a lot of text that actually there's a little less subtext because maybe you have 12 actual lines to say directly to the audience what you are feeling.
Right.
I think that that helps me, or it, I think that it has refined my question. So if I'm working on a new play where maybe I don't have 12 lines of verse to express myself, I maybe have a sentence. Do you know what I'm saying, Melanie? Add to this.
I'm getting out of what you're saying, and that keeps coming to me is specificity.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What we were taught to do with a classical text was look at it from so many different angles, from the sort of dramaturgical angle. You know, let's talk about what was going on in Shakespeare's life. Let's talk about the time and place that this play is set. And then we would look at it from, with our vocal teachers, and look at it from, like, what are the consonants doing? What's the assonance? What's the dissonance? What does the word feel like in your mouth? Where does it come from in your body? And then we would look at it from a movement standpoint. And what does this word make you want to do? And we would just sort of take it apart in all of its little pieces, mm-hmm. and look at it through the filter of music, and look at it through the filter of movement and sound and context, and then sort of put it back together, keeping those things that you felt were really useful to you in then telling the story. Mm-hmm. But it was that sort of drilling it down into its pieces and getting really specific about it that I don't think that I had practiced that with any kind of a text. And so, like you're saying, that you can then take that technique and take that approach to, and you apply it to any text, whether it's, you know, new or if it's a classical text.
So it sounds like it's a very rigorous, a very systematic process of deconstructing a text, and then, or is that, I'm putting words in your mouth, you didn't look like I hit it.
I would say rigorous, maybe not systematic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. I was just teaching a class yesterday at Columbia, introducing Shakespeare to, like, an acting class who had, like, only ever studied it in high school, and were sort of like, oh,
do we have to?
Really? I said, I just want to show you. I'm going to take 5 minutes, and I'm going to define what an iamb is, and we're going to talk about pentameter, and I'm going to show you a way to scan a line.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to show you about 12 other ways you could scan that line too. And what I want you to know is, here are the tools. This is what I feel like, we got from teachers and artists there. And you will see actors work in very different ways in the festival itself. But here are lots of tools, mm-hmm. and here is a lot of information, and you can use that in many different ways. The most important thing is to communicate the story.
Right.
I cannot act a trochee. Mm-hmm. I can hardly say it just now. That's not the most important thing.
Right.
And I think sometimes in training programs or in school, we get so caught up in that, mm-hmm. that then it becomes an art form that we can't, that is untouchable, that we don't understand, that has nothing to do with me in 2014.
Mm-hmm. Well, so what does it do to a theatrical culture to be built entirely around repertory and ensemble? A single ensemble doing mm-hmm. a lot of plays in repertory.
I think it's really, really fun. I would go from, I was doing To Kill a Mockingbird, Comedy of Errors, and The Odyssey. So I'd go from, like, Mobile, Alabama, Depression era Mobile, Alabama, to this, like, cartoon of a production mm-hmm. of Comedy of Errors, to wild Caribbean production of The Odyssey, in which I wore like 10 different costumes. I will never have that many beautiful, ridiculous costumes.
Yeah. The production values at Stratford are unsurpassed. That must be fun just in itself.
It is fun. It's kind of ridiculous sometimes.
Right.
In comedy, I think I had 4 wigs. They were all human hair. They were made for my head, for me, for the show.
Right.
And you could have easily not remembered me from that production. So that's kind of unbelievable.
The resources are, has to be kind of an extraordinary eye-opener for people who live in the Chicago scene. Where, well, so what else about rep? I know that British actors often come up in that tradition. It's not so much part of American acting tradition? What do you get out of seeing the other actors?
I know that, I mean, it's just so fascinating to watch the other actors who do have the lead roles, you know, change. I was in Romeo and Juliet and Caesar and Cleopatra and Love's Labor's Lost. Watching Peter Donaldson, may he rest in peace. He was, he had huge roles in each show, and it was so fascinating to watch him morph from one character to the other. And I thought what was interesting, and I think probably everybody does this, but you start drawing connective threads from one character to the next, and you sort of see like, oh, I see how his Don Armado has got, you know, echoes of his Friar Lawrence. Look at that.
Right. Well, because an actor's character does shine through their characters, so to speak, in some way.
I just, one of the things is you just never get bored. You cannot get bored in rep because there is, you know, you're always doing, you never do the same show back to back.
Right.
And I don't know how, but by watching the other actors, we learned to pace ourselves. And I don't really even know exactly what that means, but that was what somebody had said right at the beginning. Like, this is going to, you're going to be tired. Pace yourself. Because you're working really, really hard on three things at once. So take it easy and give yourself rest.
And then you can take care of yourself because you're not working the other three jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there something that you felt seeing the Chicago scene by contrast to Stratford that seemed particularly precious or valuable or important about what it is to be a Chicago actor?
Oh, yeah. Actors here are, I have found in my adopted home now, that are so generous and so supportive and work so hard here in Chicago. So hard. And I have distinct memory of standing backstage during a performance of To Kill a Mockingbird. And people were complaining about something. It was something ludicrous to me. Like, and I think there were a couple people who'd just been at Stratford for a long time. And they'd been there for a while, so they were taking it for granted.
Yeah.
We were there a short enough time that I don't think I ever took that experience for granted. And they were complaining about something, about how like hard the job was as an actor or something. And I just turned to them, which is sort of uncharacteristic for me. And I was like, guys, this is like, we're in like Disneyland for actors right now.
Right.
We're so lucky that this is our problem.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What would be your answer, Melanie?
Similar to Erin's. In that piece about the Chicago community being so generous and supportive, I think because Stratford really is the top of the food chain, that there is a sense of once you get in, you never want to leave because it's such an incredible, amazing place to work and because you get compensated really well for doing things you love.
Right.
So there, it is more competitive and there is, a dynamic of people loving each other. But at the same time, if it's you or me, I'm going to do everything I can to make it me.
Right.
And there's a little sort of
so much to lose. Yeah.
You've got so far to fall.
Right.
It was just more competitive and there was a lot more sort of angst about being there and staying there.
Mm-hmm.
And that piece going all the way back to the beginning of how we, you know, sometimes in Chicago, we just get down to business. I'm so glad that I have had both experiences where I get to spend 30 minutes in Stratford breathing and doing a vocal warm up before a show. And then I'm in Chicago and, you know, the stage manager has come from her day job and she gets to the theater, you know, 10 minutes before a curtain and we all just have to throw on our costumes and just go. I'm just grateful that I've had experiences in both places because I think now maybe I can take a little bit of both and apply it to my work, I hope, maybe.
Is there anything stylistically about, is there anything you said, boy, in Chicago, we would do that differently, just as artists. Is there a Chicago style that you suddenly saw by being outside of Chicago theater?
There is a certain elocution and articulation that I would see
voice and language.
Even in the contemporary shows that I would go to see in Toronto. That
yeah. mm-hmm.
There was a bit of a little more spit and shine.
And did that seem wrong? Did that seem stylistically
yeah.
wrong?
Sometimes yeah. I thought this play is not gritty enough. Chicago knows how to do gritty.
Yeah.
Let's drop our affectations and just get down to it.
Yeah.
You know, so right. sometimes I didn't like it. It wasn't my preference.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think sometimes, you can say both. You can say, yes, there's a very distinct style about Chicago theater, and there's a very distinct style about, that you would note from the Stratford Festival. But both of those things could break open at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I was working on the Odyssey, that Peter Hinton directed, and, he certainly has a great knowledge of, he's a very, very smart man and has a great knowledge of classical works, but he also comes from a school. He running a theater company in Ottawa, Canada, where they were, you know, kind of like what ensembles in Chicago might be doing, where they were creating original mm-hmm. stuff. Mm-hmm. And I remember one day we were playing around and we had all these sticks, and we were kind of playing around with how we were going to show rowing. And we were doing all of this stuff, and I was having a blast, but it didn't seem like crazy and foreign. And I do remember some other people being like, whoa, this is what we're doing in rehearsal today.
Right. Right.
But so like that breaks that notion.
A Chicago moment in Stratford.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks, Anne.